This is Your Call's One Planet series. I'm Rose Aguilar. Now we are discussing the environmental impacts of AI data centers in California. In a new piece in Capital and Maine, today's guest, Aaron Cantu, writes that surging electricity demand from these data centers is outpacing the supply of new clean energy sources, helping to sustain the fossil fuel industry. It's a dynamic at play in California, where renewable energy is limited and expensive, while power from existing natural gas plants is available and cheap. So how will these data centers affect air quality, and which communities are most impacted by air pollution? Aaron Cantu is an investigative reporter in Los Angeles covering energy issues and the fossil fuel industry in California. Hi, Aaron. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Well, great to have you. So millions of people are using AI and ChatGPT, and it seems like there's a bit more attention about the environmental impact of this, not so much about the frontline communities that will be most impacted and affected. As you write, there are about 300 or so data centers in California. Can you tell us more about them? Where are they located? How big are they? What do we need to know about them?
Sure. So California is a little bit different from other states, right? In that California is the home of Silicon Valley. The computing industry really started here. So we have a lot of data centers that are a bit older than some of these huge facilities being proposed in places like Louisiana or Wyoming or Texas. But we do have some larger centers that are proposed. I think, you know, what's unique about California is that the computing industry has long been a backbone of the state's economy. And you also have a long legacy of environmentalism in the state. And so those two identities and realities in the state are kind of coming to, I wouldn't say coming to a head yet, but I think as the state seeks to retain its edge in the compute AI industry race, some of these considerations around air pollution and climate change emissions are maybe somewhat being placed on the back burner, and that is something you see across the country, but certainly you see it here in California as well.
You report that many of California's data centers are clustered in the Bay Area, but more than half of the gas plants that fuel them are in disadvantaged communities.
Right. And that was an interesting finding for us. So I think, you know, one thing to note is that it's well known that that data centers use a lot of energy, and data centers that drive AI use a particularly large amount of electricity because of the chips that they use. And this is going to become more of an issue as if forecasts about AI use are correct, this is going to require more energy, more electricity. And depending on where that electricity comes from, you could end up with more local pollution as well as climate change emissions. And so what we found specifically in California was that although we have seen a rise in clean power from solar, wind, you know, especially over the last 15, 20 years, the amount of energy that these data centers need is outstripping the supply of clean energy that power suppliers can realistically procure. I spoke to one community choice aggregator in the Bay Area. These are organizations that buy power for large customers. And they told me that prices for solar and wind, prices for renewable energy was much more expensive than prices for natural gas, electricity made from natural gas. And so that is creating a dynamic in the state where data centers are being powered by natural gas more often than renewable energy, because the renewable energy capacity can't keep up. And then what we also found, as you mentioned, many of the data centers are located in Silicon Valley. Outside of there, they're in urban areas around Sacramento, LA, San Diego. But More than half of those gas plants that power them are in low-income communities, many in the Central Valley. These are also communities of color. Many Latino residents live there. And those gas plants, in addition to emitting climate-changing greenhouse gas emissions, also emit all kinds of pollutants in those local communities, which are already overburdened by air pollution. And so this is making the situation worse.
Can you explain why this is happening? You quoted Monica Padilla, CEO of Silicon Valley Clean Energy. Her organization buys renewable electricity for customers and serves three data centers. And she said that prices for renewable energy and long-term purchasing contracts are some of the highest she's seen in the last 20 years. She said, over the last year, we started seeing these huge load growth forecasts from the state. Meanwhile, prices per megawatt for solar, wind, geothermal, and battery storage have doubled or tripled since 2018. She said, we can't do it just with renewables right now. They're too expensive. What explains this?
Yeah, so it's several different factors converging. And I think one is, as she mentioned, as Monica Padilla mentioned to me, there is a queue for new renewable energy projects to be approved at it's called the California Independent Systems Operator. And so this is kind of the organizational body that oversees the grid here in California. And there has been a crunch of new projects to create electricity from clean energy sources that are taking a long time to be approved. What that's doing is creating a lack of supply, just as demand for this clean electricity is skyrocketing. So we're not just seeing demand for this electricity go up from the data center industry. We're also seeing it go up because of electric vehicles, for example. The state of California also has very ambitious plans to increase the electrification of different parts of the economy, not just with cars. The state also wants to, by 2030, 2035, switch more buildings from getting their heat from gas, for example, to electricity. There are plans at the ports in Los Angeles, for example, to increase electricity as a means of energy, as opposed to allowing trucks and drayage vehicles and ships and other forms of transport that currently use diesel and fossil fuel gas. We want them to electrify. So you're seeing this huge surge in demand for electricity just at the same time that this AI data center race is happening. And just as we've had for the last 7 or so years, this supply crunch at the queso. So it's all of these factors converging. And then when you lay on top of it, in the article I described as assaults by President Trump against renewable energy, tax credits for new solar and wind and other forms of electricity, tax credits for these projects are being rescinded much earlier than what the Biden administration had approved in the Inflation Reduction Act. And so all of these things are kind of converging to create a very difficult situation for California.
We are speaking with Aaron Cantu, an investigative reporter covering energy issues and the fossil fuel industry in California. He wrote a piece for Capital and Maine called "The Insatiable Energy Demands of Data Centers Could Increase Fossil Fuel Emissions in California." If you have any questions for Aaron, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Can we step back and can you tell us what do these data centers do exactly, and how are we all using them, whether we like it or not? And I say that because before the show, I wanted to find out what one ChatGPT search equals. And so I typed that into Google and I got an AI overview. I didn't ask for it, but that's what it gives me by default. And I noticed that sometimes with my email, AI summarizes the email, even though I didn't ask for it. It's now default. So according to what I'm finding from various sources, NPR, MIT, one ChatGPT search uses a similar amount of energy as turning on a 10-watt LED light bulb for 20 minutes. This energy is roughly 9 to 10 times more than a single Google search. So can you tell us more about these data centers? And then what's going on with all these defaults? We're not asking to use AI, but you don't have a choice now.
Right. No, great questions. And MIT, a couple of months ago, put out a report. It was a technology review, I think a publication by MIT. And they looked very granularly at this question of how much does a single query, how much energy does it use? And you know, it also depends on the query. I mean, if it's kind of a simple question that might use less than, for example, generating a photo or a video, but certainly these applications are using a lot of energy. And you know, really across the country, the question of the resources that it takes, and you know, the pollution that's also emitted to accomplish these tasks, is certainly, in my view, fallen by the wayside. As far as you know, what the actual process is. So you send a query to a, you know, to ChatGPT or to Claude or another one of these AI systems. And so in these data centers, there are servers that are powered by specific kinds of chips. And the chips are called graphic processing units. It's a technical name. And they're different from previous chips, CPUs, computer processing units, because GPUs can actually analyze information simultaneously. So that's why you get a you can get an answer so quick, or you can get an image or a video so much more quickly than, you know, previous generations of chips would have produced, because they're designed to sort of output information kind of like in parallel with sort of all of the information that it's outputting, as opposed to previous generations where it would sort of be sequential. But that process takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of, I don't know if you've ever played like a computer video game. Some of those back in the day, they would require these really big laptops, because there were like these big worlds with really, really good graphics, and sometimes you notice the computer getting really hot because of all of the sort of energy being put into ensuring that this video game would run, you know, smoothly. And actually, GPUs are produced by NVIDIA, you know, the one of the biggest AI chip makers, if not the biggest chip maker right now, produced those GPU chips originally for those video games, and then kind of came to realize, oh, actually these function very well to produce these sorts of AI applications. So, but at the end of the day, I mean, I think, you know, whatever the technical details, what's important to realize, for people to realize, is that, you know, all of these things are happening in the material world, right? Just because these things are digital, just because they're happening on our computers or on our phones, it doesn't mean that they don't have a nexus to the material reality that we live in, right? And so I think, you know, part of this story, part of my reason for reporting this story, and you know, many other researchers, reporters out there who are also tackling this issue, is to really sort of name the costs of this technology. And, you know, I think that raises the question of, you know, is this worth it, right? Because these are things that we all, at the end of the day, are contributing to, and in some ways sanctioning, right? And we're giving permission for the material, for the you know, for the pollution to be emitted, for the water to be used, for the greenhouse gas emissions to make the climate warmer, right? So the question really is this something that we as a society want to be investing in? And, you know, to your question about companies kind of shoehorning AI applications into everything, you know, into email, into Google search, I mean, there's serious money behind AI right now, billions and billions of dollars. Some people say that we might be in a bubble, right? That could collapse. And the question around how extensive the damage would be, after that bubble collapses is still up for debate. But the reason you're seeing it everywhere is because people have a lot of money invested in it, and that's kind of the reason.
Aaron Cantu is an investigative reporter who wrote a piece for Capital in Maine called The Insatiable Energy Demands of Data Centers Could Increase Fossil Fuel Emissions in California. I think one of the most important points you're making in this piece is that renewables are just too expensive to power these data centers. And so it's gas plants. And the AI boom has undercut the efforts of advocates to phase out natural gas. You write about a report from the California Environmental Justice Alliance and the Sierra Club that found at least nine of the gas plants used for these data centers are releasing levels of nitrogen oxides, a smog-forming group of pollutants that are above federal levels. And again, they're located in communities with high levels of poverty, disease, and pollution.
Right. And just to take a step back, for people who may not be so familiar with power plants, when we say natural gas power plants, essentially these are facilities that burn gas in order to spin a turbine, and that spinning turbine creates electricity, and that electricity, goes out into communities all over the state that are connected to the grid. So they're not necessarily making electricity just for, a specific customer. It's basically anyone who's connected to the grid can benefit from that power. But you're right. These gas plant facilities right now, the energy that they are producing through this fossil fuel-based process is more attractive from a price point for some of these data centers, because the power coming from renewable sources is stretched too thin. We have too many potential customers, people who want this renewable power in the state, and not enough supply, basically. And so when you're in this situation, natural gas is sort of the easiest form of energy to pick up that demand. Because natural gas plants can they can be turned on very easily. They can respond quickly to spikes in demand. We just finished with the summer season, and during the summer months when it gets really hot, again because of heat waves fueled by climate change, you see some of these gas power plants, their emissions and their energy output rises because people are cranking up their air conditioner. Gas facilities have the ability to sort of respond almost in real time to those increases in demand. And you we're in California. I mean, we're getting better at sort of storing energy from solar plants, solar panels basically, that gather energy from the sun. We're getting better at storing that in large-scale batteries, but the capacity is still not at the level of what gas plants can supply, kind of at the drop of a hat. And again, the capacity is too low for meeting the demand that we're seeing.
Aaron, let's take two quick calls. We're almost out of time. Let's hear from Greg in Palo Alto. Hi, Greg. Thanks for holding.
Hello, thank you. Well, maybe I'm confused, but hopefully your guests can explain this. One is that regardless of the issues with AI, the state and this country have to cut back emissions dramatically by 2030. So you would think that there would just be, who knows what you'd call it, a Marshall Plan for renewable energy going on both in the state and the country. The second thing is, I'm not sure, is it cost that is preventing the further development of this clean energy? And then the last thing is investment. You know, the state of California has hundreds of billions of dollars invested in state teachers' retirement and public employees' retirement funds, where they invest money. I mean, this money, it seems to me, if they were really smart about where they put the money, they could put this into renewable energy, and that might boost this production regardless of AI or not. We're going to need that clean
energy.
Well,
Greg, thanks for calling. Sorry, but we're almost out of time. Let's go to Kelly in Santa Cruz, and then we'll get Aaron to respond. Hi, Kelly. We're almost out of time.
Oh, yeah. Well, he almost answered my question about the AI crash, the bubble crash. There's a lot of concerned people out there. One I can think of was Cory Doctorow, who put out a report recently saying that within the next year, basically the AI industry is going to blow out because there's no future for it at the current pace of investment. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. And John, we don't have time to take your comment, but John wanted to say Google may be free, but we're all going to pay for it in our electric bills. And that is so true. John, there's a lot of reporting out about that, and we'll definitely do a show on this. Aaron, what are your thoughts? Greg's question about the state of California and politicians. What are they doing about AI? I mean, there's some stories about California backing off from AI regulation. We've definitely got to do a show about that. But what about all the energy and the water that it's taking for these data centers?
Yeah, those are great questions. I think the question about California wanting to meet its emissions reductions goals by 2030 and 2035, the short answer is California is in trouble when it comes to meeting those targets, and you see across different state agencies, and even in some of the statements of elected officials, they're pretty worried about meeting that target at least by 2030. I think AI, the electricity demand of AI data centers is not something people foresaw, even 3 years ago, and so it's becoming a real question of whether California can accomplish the goal that it has set for itself. I think in terms of what happened in the legislature this year around AI, so there were a few bills to sort of force the industry to account for its water usage, its impact on electricity rates, the way that their needs would impact ratepayers' bills. And most of those bills actually did not make it into law. The only one that did is a bill to assess whether the demands of AI data centers have the potential to impact ratepayers' bills. And so that is just going to be a study at the California Public Utilities Commission. Governor Newsom actually vetoed another bill that would have required the industry to report how much water they use to run their data centers. And there were a couple of other bills, one that would have encouraged the use of renewable energy with tax credits to data centers. That one never made it out of the legislature. Overall, I would say a pretty, not a great track record for legislation to hold this industry in the state accountable for its environmental footprint.
And Aaron, quickly, these are billion-dollar corporations we're talking about. The Guardian has a piece about how Google, Microsoft, Meta, Facebook, and Apple have, their real emissions from their own data centers are about 662% higher than they officially reported. These are billion-dollar corporations. Are they lobbying the California government on these bills?
Yeah, of course they are. They're lobbying in California. They're lobbying in all of the states. They're lobbying the White House. Really at this point, this is an industry that is basically unrestrained, and we somewhat kind of all just live in their world, right? And my job was to try to show what.
Yeah, we'll definitely do some follow-up shows about this. Aaron Cantu is an investigative reporter. Find his article, Capital and Main Piece, KALW.org. Click news and then your call. Thanks for joining us, Aaron, and thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.